Now, I am not for amnesty, but I am for the Securing Agriculture's Workforce Act. I am for making conservative improvements to the H-2A law, H-2A visa, so that workers can be here for a period of time and then go back and then re-up that authorization. I am not for amnesty, as I've said. So this choice is a false choice. Farmers need workers. There's no doubt about that. Our nation also needs secure borders and laws, and there's no doubt about that. And it is not a human right to cross into this country illegally and take advantage of our systems. But two things can be true at the same time. We can have secure borders, and we can also have workers through this Securing Agriculture's Workforce Act that would allow workers to be here longer so that dairy can be taken care of as well as the growers.
Royce White.
Well, I mean, here it comes. By the way, that is amnesty, okay? Pathway for people who came into this country illegally to citizenship is amnesty. Okay. If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. The border's not restored until the 20 million foreign invaders that were let into this country intentionally are deported, every last one of them. Mass deportations. Mass deportations, 15 to 20 million foreign invaders as an appetizer. As an appetizer. You don't have a country if you're going to let the world's population come to your country, live the... I challenge any one of you Democrats, commiecrats, to go to China, cross the border, and demand health care, schooling, and free rent. I dare you to do it. You're going to get shot in the back of the head with no apologies. We don't have to do that, but we have to get much tougher and much more serious about the value of American citizenship. And I want to reiterate, any pathway to citizenship for illegal foreign invaders is amnesty. Thank you.
Goes on at between hockey and basketball. Oh, whoa. Nice whoa. Move there by Roy. Oh, whoa.
Big men in together. Watch this. What the?
Whoa. That's unbelievable.
What are some ways the government can provide support?
You know, I come from the neighborhood, and many I knew many people on welfare, and that's their pitch. That's the Democrat pitch. They want to offer you certainty in exchange for everything. The government will provide you, sir. You're American citizens. You don't need certainty, you need freedom. And if you don't understand that, then you don't understand the fundamentals of being an American. Now, again, maybe I'm crazy, and I've been called crazy many times by the Communist Star Tribune. But did I hear somebody say that something regarding money in this state or anywhere is untenable? You know what's untenable? $20 billion in fraud. That's untenable. That we cannot sustain. $20 billion to illegal foreign invaders. They offer you certainty. They give you gay bathhouses. And down in the Twin Cities, we have a 30% proficiency reading, writing, and math in the Twin Cities. 30%. You give us transgender sex dolls before you give us reading proficiency, and you talk to me about tenability? Give me a break. I know, Democrats in the building. It hurts. It hurts so good.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, and I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Strap in, stay tuned. We're going to be going to a brief break. We'll be right back in a moment. We have an action-packed Sunday night. We're going to talk WNBA, Farm Fest, and the very important primary coming up on Tuesday, August 11th here in Minnesota, the belly of the beast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
Let ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazole, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazole is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazole studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
So just by a show of standing in here, if you stand for the sanctity of life, please stand now. If you stand for the sanctity of life, stand now. There's only one candidate on this stage that stands for the sanctity of life, and there's your poll.
Michelle Tafoya.
So I'm going to let the attackers attack, and that's fine. That tells me that I'm probably doing a couple things that are over the target. I want to tell you something. I wasn't recruited to run for anything. I've been thinking about this for years. And
please show some respect.
That's nice.
You know, right now I'm just having a blast in my feminine era. I never thought that I was a woman. You know, I've always trusted the science, and I thought I was a man my entire life. But you know, after further review, look at my personal preferences, it would appear that I am indeed sometimes identifying as a transgender woman. And I think it's only fair I get a chance to play with some of my queens here in the twilight of my career, my athletic prime.
Well, and so exactly what you're saying, Royce, is just sort of pulls the curtain back on the lack of clarity in the WNBA's policies under Article 8 of their 2026 collective bargaining agreement. It's simply.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we are in the Belly of the Beast, ladies and gentlemen. We have a very important midterm primary ahead of us on Tuesday, August 11th. If you're in the state of Minnesota or you know people in the state of Minnesota, make sure you remind them to vote on August 11th. Now, on the front end, I'm going to say I think our elections are rigged. I think that's pretty obvious, and our election on Tuesday is not going to be any more secure or any more unsecure than we expect any of these elections to be right now until some major sweeping reforms and security measures are put in place. Simple things like ID, right? So I don't know what to expect on Tuesday. If I had to guess, I would guess that they will find a way to push Michelle Tafoya over the finish line because Tim Scott recruited her himself. And there you saw in the cold open, Michelle Tafoya lie in front of a Minnesota constituency at our Farm Fest event, Senate Forum, and came right out and said, I wasn't recruited by anybody. Now, later on in the show, we have audio that was thankfully recorded by a friend of mine, another former U.S. Senate candidate, Alicia Gruenhagen, at our Minnesota GOP convention here in 2026. And she was wise enough, or somebody in her camp was wise enough, to record a conversation between her and an NRSC operative who came to Alicia Gruenhagen and lobbied for her not to support me because Michelle Tafoya is the one who can bring in the cash. Now, on face value, if you're an American citizen and you want your elections to be run by the cash, you already have conceded your freedom. and you've conceded corruption, because we know, I mean, people are going to be buying elections. You're going to get puppets. You're going to get sellouts. That goes without saying. But anyway, she was wise enough to record the conversation. So I'm going to let you guys hear this NRSC operative clearly state that Tim Scott, current chair of the NRSC, recruited Michelle Tafoya himself, which is so scary, it's hard to even put into words. Because, again, and you see I'm wearing the hat. I'm wearing the hat that says pro-life, because we are a pro-life movement. I am a black woman, a pro-life black woman. Pro-life, black, sometimes identifying as a transgender woman. And I just find it absolutely horrifying. This premise, you know, from these rhinocrats, let's call them, who say we need 40 million foreign invaders to pick our crops, to work our farms. We need 20 to 40 million. This is a conservative number. We need 20 to 40 million foreign invaders for our farm labor. So we're going to allow some undocumented, let's call them what they are, illegal foreign invaders, stay in our country. We're not going to give them citizenship. We're going to give them a different class of staying here in the country. We're going to give them worker visas, a revolving workers visa, so they can stay in our country. And let me be clear again, for those who are just tuning in, all 20 million or whatever the number ends up being of foreign invaders that were let into this country under the Joe Biden administration, let's call them Obama and Biden's foreign invaders, every last one of them must be deported. Every last one. Any policy, any politicians, any deal, any legislation or bill that would have any of those foreign invaders stay in this country under any status whatsoever is in fact amnesty. But that's not even the biggest problem. The biggest problem is something much deeper, and that's this idea that's conceded from the center left Republicans all the way over to the progressives that says we're going to abort American-born citizens to import foreign illegal invaders to pick our crops, to be our slaves, to work the fields. We are going to abort our own unborn American citizens in exchange for illegal foreign invaders and their cheap labor. There may not be a single issue in this entire election cycle that's more perverse, more disordered, more disanchored from reality and righteousness than that there. Unlimited, unrestricted abortion of our unborn American citizens, and we're going to import the third world's illegal foreign invaders and their cheap labor. Because, you know, American citizens, they either don't want to work farms or they don't know how to work the farms or they don't know how to work any of these labor jobs. And the whole thing is a lie. You got to know the whole thing is a scam. Of course American citizens can do these tech jobs. I mean, imagine the audacity of these globalist elites who tell you that American-born workers don't have the skills necessary to fill these billets, when in fact our entire education system has been built around the STEM studies for that very purpose. So American-born citizens do have the skills necessary to fill those billets. And now we've reached a point, in our nation's trajectory where, in fact, the STEM system has failed because there's too much gender fluidity being taught in the schools. Yeah, no, we're not worried about teaching these kids real skills that they need to excel in life, to have the American dream, to prosper, to thrive. No, we are more concerned with gender fluidity. And as a black pro-life, sometimes identifying as a transgender woman, I certainly would advocate that men and women
and everything else in between, because gender is fluid, be able to participate in professional sports or a professional sports league like the WNBA per their own collective bargaining language. However, and I've had an epiphany about this, and as you can see, I never knew I could be a woman. The thought of it is like, you know, it's liberating, really. And if I really think about it, I always wanted to be a woman. Or at least I always wanted to be a woman some of the time. I always wanted to know what it would be like to be a woman, to put myself in a woman's shoes. I wanted to be able to sympathize with our nation and our world's women, because they've been oppressed by the white tyrannical patriarchy. And why should they have to suffer through that alone? Why shouldn't men step into the gap and try and experience some of that oppression with them? And here we are. I mean, I had my science all wrong. Your chromosomes and evolutionary biology, all these things that we use when it comes to farm animals or farm crops or many other things, you know, your pets. You go down to PetSmart and you say, hey, I want a couple of guinea pigs. And they say, well, what do you want? Do you want a male or a female guinea pig? And it's like, well, let's ask the guinea pig what they think they are, you know, because gender is a construct. And that's, you know, hey, here we are. But yeah, interestingly enough, even though I'm a huge, huge gender fluidity advocate, I'm a huge believer in gender fluidity, I still think there's an appropriate time and place for your transgender explorations, your transgender, curiosities, your transgender revelations and epiphanies, your transgender reality, your transgender truth. There's a time and a place, and it still isn't at our schools, even though I am a pro-life, black pro-life, sometimes identifying as a transgender woman. Even still, there's an appropriate time and place for transgenderism, and it certainly isn't in our schools, especially when you're going to tell me that our American-born citizens don't have the skills necessary to fill the billets of all these jobs. All these jobs, there's a shortage of the workforce. We need more. We need more foreign invaders. Bring us more foreign invaders. Bring them. Bring them from India. Bring them from, you know, clearly going to come from Iran, right? This Iran war is going to bubble out of control, and we're going to kick a bunch of refugees into Europe, and they're glad to take them, right? I mean, why not? Give us your Muslims. Just give us all your Muslims. We'll take them, and we'll send some over to the United States of America, because the United States of America always could use a few more of anything. We'll take them. They could be the Hmong. They could be Somali. They could be from West Africa, Central Africa. They could be South African. You know, they could come from anywhere. Give them to us. We'll take everybody. That's our mantra. That's our moniker. Everybody's welcome. It's not the land of the free. No. It's the moniker. Our mantra is not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No. The moniker is everybody's welcome. Everybody is welcome in the United States of America. And it was odd to sit there and listen to Michelle Tafoya try to explain away her amnesty position. I'm sitting there thinking, what am I listening to? How stupid does she think these people are in the audience? When you're on the campaign trail and you have the good fortune to become a candidate and you go to these events, you know, like a Senate forum at a great event like Farm Fest, the American farmers are the backbone of this country for sure. Control the food. Man who controls the food controls the people. And our farmers have been sold down the river, maybe more than anybody. And they're getting squeezed, right? But the benefits are good. They got all these subsidies and the government and the welfare and the whole deal. It's like slowly but surely they're squeezing the life out of the farmers the same way they are single black women down there in the welfare wards. Difference is they don't have to work for their government cheese. The farmers have to use their hands. So it's different, but the same. Same, but different. But regardless, the thing that you end up being most surprised by when you're a candidate, you got the good fortune to be a candidate on the campaign trail, is just how easily some of these people get up on the stage or go up to the microphone and lie They just lie through their teeth. It's astounding. Even more astounding than that is how many people will still support them. And they know they're lying. Like, for example, Michelle Tafoya sat right there before the FarmFest crowd and said, "Nobody recruited me." Tim Scott's on the record saying that he recruited her. The NRSC is on their own website saying they recruited her. And now we have audio, shocking audio, bombshell audio from a private conversation where essentially an NRSC operative explains how the money is moved around for some of these United States Senate and other political campaigns. I mean, just groundbreaking stuff we're going to have coming to you here in a moment. But the obvious elephant in the room and the headlines are this WNBA controversy. Myself and Turkish national Enes Kanter are now eligible, at least per our belief, we are now eligible for the 2027 WNBA draft. And I just want to say, I love the women's game. I love the women's game. I grew up watching many, many very good women's basketball players, girls and women's basketball players. When you were young, basketball player like me, you know, you'd be at a school, or you have some older cousins and whatnot, and you go to the high school varsity games, and you got the girls, and you got the boys, and, you know, of course, the boys are exciting. You know, they usually pack a little different punch, but man, some girls' basketball was fun, exhilarating. You had some great games, some classic rivalries, at least here in the Twin Cities, I'm sure where you live as well. Women's basketball, and the thing about women's players, they usually have to be a little more skilled, and when I say skilled, I mean they don't have the same physical attributes as some of their male counterparts, or at least we thought. At least we thought. But now, I mean, the WNBA has gone into a crisis meeting. They've gone into a crisis meeting to discuss the eligibility of their league and what, in fact, as a woman, it would appear from the WNBA, from professional sports, which I've been saying here on this show for as long as I've been coming on, that professional sports is the microcosm of our entire society. From professional sports, it would appear we are going to get the first clear-cut definition from the left of what a woman actually is. And how dare they tell me I'm not a woman? How dare they presume to say that I am not a real woman? Like Chaka Khan said, "I'm every woman. It's all in me." Whoa, whoa, whoa. Right? I'm every woman. We're all every woman. We're all everybody. Everybody's everybody. Everybody's anybody. You can be whoever you want to be. That's the thing. Everybody's welcome, and you can be whoever you want to be. You can be a woman. You can be a man. You can identify as a different race. You can identify as different species. You can be anything you want to be. And it's a very seductive idea. I mean, seductive to the point where you got to think there's some nefariousness to it, right? It's like, sounds good on paper to tell a person they can be whatever they want to be. But when you get down to the details, you take a fine tooth comb, you realize that reality does set boundaries on the human species, on the human existence, on the human condition. There are boundaries in a society that tries to give up its boundaries as a predicate to or a way to circumvent the limitations of the human body, limitations of the human mind. A society that does that at their own peril. But here we are. I mean, the ship is going down. The ship is going down. The fat lady's getting ready. The band's playing. You know, the band's playing, and there aren't enough lifeboats for everybody. So I thought to myself, you know, if America's headed, you know, down the drain, why not experience what it's like to be a woman? I mean, why would I go my entire life in a man's body to be a woman trapped in a man's body? The torture, the anguish of it. I can't even describe it to you. You know, it's been a revelation. It's like, you can do this, dude. You can do this. You can become the best WNBA basketball player the world has ever seen. You can go to the WNBA and elevate the entire game. You can draw more eyes. You think Caitlin Clark's drawing eyeballs to the women's game. Wait till me and Enos Kanter get there. Wait until the LeBron Jameses of the world show up. Wait until your young high school athletes decide, you know what? Why would I want to go hang around with a bunch of other sweaty men in a hyper-competitive setting? Just go on over here to the WNBA and you know, experience being a woman, because we all should get the opportunity to experience being the other sex, because it's just a construct anyway. Just a construct. There's nothing to it. There's no difference. But there's no real difference. Come on. Come on. There's no real difference between men and women. And we all know that. If you dig deep, if you search your heart, you know. I mean, let me look at you straight on here. If you search your heart, go home tonight, take some time, you look in the mirror, and you search, you search, do some deep diving. We all know there's no real difference between men. We know that. We all know. It's a farce. It's a farce that's been perpetuated by all of these neocolonial racists, these neocolonial racist white men. It's a farce. All you need is a synthetic wig. And yeah, this is a wig, but it's my hair because I pay for it. It's a wig, but it's mine because I pay for it. Okay? And if you don't give me my props, if you don't tell me that I'm slaying tonight, if you don't say yes, queen, then you're transphobic. And you really need to take a look in the mirror and figure out why you have so much hate. In fact, as a black man, I never experienced as much hate as I've experienced in you know, what is it? 100 or so hours of being transgender. I've been transgender for, you know, about 5 days. I've never experienced so much hate. So much hate. Trans on trans hate. I got a bunch of transgenders in my inbox threatening to kill me. I had a transgender say, I'm going to find you and I'm going to pistol whip the piss out of you. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, this must be a big transgender. She thinks she's going to roll up on me and just pistol whip me with no problems. Wow. I want to see this transgender. We need you to come to the tryouts. You got to come to the WNBA tryouts too. If you're big enough to pull that off, you probably should be playing some WNBA basketball. We need you. Death threats, you know, people making fun of my fear of flying. Of course I have a fear of flying. Of course I have a fear of impending catastrophe while flying 35,000 feet in the air, 650 miles per hour. Of course I have fears about small enclosed spaces because I was trapped in here. I was trapped in here for so long. My transition has cured my fear of flying. My transition has cured my fear of flying. I am healed. I am liberated. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on The Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, and we'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
I'll tell you something right now. That is one of the most, if not the most important things I've ever talked about on air. And I want you to really listen to me. And I want you to get a pen and paper out of your iPhone, out of your Droid, and type this into your notes. And I want you at lunch today or tonight or right now to just go to any search engine you want and type in two different names, two different words, okay? Two different drugs that have won Nobel Prizes, you name it, that people don't want you to know about. And one of those is ivermectin that everybody knows about. The other one that most people still don't know about is mebendazole. If you do the research, then it's important to understand that you need to get it from a pharmacy. You need to get it from a doctor. And we have a sponsor, and that's, of course, Bigly. And they went and they used the same service as, you know, the big web, RXs, and great people we've used that have been sponsors in the past. But this is Bigly doing it. And the key is it's real, it's pharmaceutical, and it is a very low price. People are selling knockoffs of it online without a prescription, and a lot of it's fake or a lot of it's watered down and adulterated. Because I did a regimen a couple years ago of mebendazole. We'll put that on screen. That's how you spell it right there. Mebendazole. And it didn't have any effect. I bought it off of Amazon. And then I did more research. And they said most of that stuff's fake. So I went and I got it from a doctor. And it was incredible. And my own medical doctor owns clinics all over the state of Texas had already been pushing it on me for years. And I just never done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get the two in a combo. The ivermectin and the mebendazole together. And they work synergistically together. It is certified and known, both of them, as incredible anti-parasite. Just search the term ivermectin, mebendazole, and just put in study and do your own research and see what the system has been suppressing about this. And this is something, in my view, talk to your physician. And when you go to the website, it's your online pharmacy, and they've got nurses, doctors, all of it. And then you get the prescription. It's very, very easy to do. And I would recommend to talk to your doctors. My own personal opinion, what I do for myself is twice a year, I take a regimen of ivermectin and mebendazole. And it is incredible. People ask why I look so young while I'm healthy. Well, it's a cocktail of things. It's the ivermectin. It's the mebendazole that I take about twice a year as a regimen. Some people, my medical doctor says, take a little bit of ivermectin every week. But I tend to forget to do that. She's literally just says take like two pills a week as a supplemental. That's what my medical doctor tells me. You get your own medical doctor to tell you what you want. But the big thing they say is a couple times a year, a big dose, a big regimen. You talk to your physicians. You talk to the folks in the online pharmacy. Let me put it on screen for you. 1776RX, just 1776RX.health. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do, ladies and gentlemen. And despite the system trying to suppress this information, it's getting out everywhere. So do your own research. This is revolutionary. This is so important. 1776, just the numbers. 1776RX.health. Those are the coordinates, and it's a win-win to fund our operation and what we're doing. Take action now. The most important decision you'll ever make, 1776RX.health, and get your ivermectin mebendazole right now, ladies and gentlemen. But whatever you do, go to thealexshowstore.com. These are incredible products. All these things work. They'll have sexy names. IRCMOS, Shilajit, bovine colostrum. Oh, research bovine colostrum and then find out we have the best. Oh, research IRCMOS. We have the best. Research Shilajit. We have the best. We just bring you things the bad guys don't want you to know about at thealexshowstore.com and, of course, at 1776RX.health. Take action now. Thank you so much for your support.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
It's all in me. Anything you want done, baby, I do it naturally. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm everyone.
Are we live?
I can read your thoughts right now.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. Your guest host, Royce White. Royce White, I'm sorry. Sometimes I misgender myself. It's a journey. It's a journey. And shout out to the great Chaka Khan. She's an inspiration. She's always been an inspiration of mine, if I really am being honest. She's always been one of those people in the background that I was afraid to say was one of my idols. To be right, my single mother, you know, another great black woman. And we'd be riding around after school on my way to basketball practice. And every once in a while, there was a radio station here in the Twin Cities called KMOJ, and they used to play the solid gold soul hits. And every once in a while, you'd have that Chaka Khan come on, and I'd be lying if I didn't say I just had the instinct to dance and, you know,
sing along, I do it naturally, whoa, whoa, whoa. And shout out to the great Chaka Khan, but as I said, we can get back to business because I don't want to turn this into a party. And that's the thing about being trans. You know, trans is so liberating that it kind of intuitively just makes you want to dance. It makes you want to party, right? And you gotta be honest. The gays, they throw a great party. The LGBTQ, they throw a hell of a party, right? You know, it's a little perverse. You know, you get out on the wild side. They have something like in California, under the great leadership of Gavin Newsom and people like Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, they had these pride events where there were pissing pools. There were pools that were gated, obscured vision, so you couldn't see directly into what was going on. And they had signs. It's like, come here if you want to be peed on. That's a real thing. So I'm not, maybe it'll come. Maybe through this journey, I'll get to a place where I'm comfortable enough to play around or go and visit the pissing pool, you know, maybe even as a voyeur or something like that. But I'm not there yet. I still think that there's a more elegant, more classy transgender identity out there that I'm looking to unlock. I'm looking to try and change the landscape of being trans the same way I try to trailblaze the world of politics or anything. We should all strive to be a trailblazer in our respective lane in life, right? And if it's being trans, then it's being trans. But we got to get back to a little bit of business. Right now, I promised I was going to play a video. Bombshell audio. You're hearing it here first. Actually, I think Alicia Gruenhagen may have put it up online. But you're hearing it here for the first time. There is secretly recorded audio of an NRSC operative coming to the great Alicia Gruenhagen, son of the great Senator Glenn Gruenhagen of the Minnesota Senate. And in this secretly recorded audio, this NRSC operative lays out how the money really works in American politics, especially for these Senate races, especially for a state like Minnesota, of which I'll let you hear in a moment. She essentially says, we don't even pay attention to Minnesota unless a person like Michelle Tafoya could pull it within a couple of points. And then in the last days before the election, we'll dump $10 million. And I mean, it's groundbreaking. It really is groundbreaking audio, a very good inside look, in-depth look into the mind of the political class, the permanent political class, the operatives, the consultants, the machinery, the apparatchiks of the Republican Party, but of DC as a whole. Let's kick to this bombshell audio, can we?
I wasn't recruited to run for anything. I've been thinking about this for years and...
Please show some respect.
That's nice.
I'm not pretending that we haven't already supported Michelle publicly. That is the candidate that Tim Scott himself recruited. We believe for a lot of reasons she's the best candidate. And I think the big one is, and you've talked about fundraising, but her ability to get money into the race that otherwise will not come. If it is Adam Schwarzy, that money does not come. If it is Royce White, that money does not come. And I know that from individual conversations I've had with people that make those decisions. There is a consensus, not just in D.C., but across the map entirely, that Minnesota comes online if we have a candidate who can raise money on her own, not one that needs their hand held for outside investment throughout the entirety of the campaign. This candidate, Michelle, would have to get this so close by October that all of a sudden it comes online. All of a sudden we're like, oh, we can dump $10 million in Minnesota and maybe flip it. This is a decision that will happen weeks before ballots are cast, not months. Whereas in a state like Ohio, you know, we are actively spending against Sherrod Brown.
Yeah.
So that's the reality.
I think Minnesota, we have a real shot with Michelle Tafoya. She has done a really good job on fundraising.
You spend money there?
We just did an event for her. We've done two events for her recently, one in the state and one a national call for the donors. What we know without question is she is within a point of the lieutenant governor right now. So if we can continue to let her show the contrast between the two candidates, I think Michelle Tafoya is the kind of Republican that can win.
I think Michelle Tafoya is the kind of Republican that can win. Straight from the horse's mouth, Tim Scott, the illustrious, the ever pervasive South Carolina senator, Tim Scott, who, you know, and I don't like to use ad hominems, but he doesn't look too tough to me. He doesn't look like he's going to hold the line. He may be able to win an arm wrestle. You know, he may have served this country, maybe. You know, some of them have, some of them haven't. I don't even know his backstory, to be honest, because I can just hear what he says, and I know what he's into. You know, I know what he's about. You know, when you hear Tim Scott say in the 2024 presidential cycle out on the campaign trail, we have to be ready for a war on three fronts in Asia at all times. You can look it up. Oh, we should have pulled that clip too. I didn't prepare. I don't prepare. I don't have notes. I had a couple videos prepared for you guys today, and that's the most I ever really can get accomplished in terms of preparation. Because I just get up here and I speak the truth. 2 hours, 3 hours, no notes. I could go for 4 hours. I go for as long as my body will hold up. I don't need any notes because the truth doesn't need a script. That's my moniker. That's my moniker as a black, pro-life, sometimes identifying as a transgender woman. That's my moniker. The truth doesn't need a script. Doesn't need a script. Go look it up yourself. Go look it up for yourself. Tim Scott, in an interview in the 2024 presidential cycle, campaign trail, he says, we have to be ready to fight a war in Asia on three fronts at all times. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the hook, line, and sinker motif of a neocon. That is the definition of a neocon. The crude definition of a neocon is a Republican who believes we should be ready, prepared to fight a three-front war in Asia at all times. And that's who Tim Scott is. And that's who he believes Michelle Tafoya will be. Or maybe he just wants to bring her to the United States Senate so he can look at her. I mean, maybe he's one of those guys. Maybe he likes her strong, masculine voice. We got a lot of gender fluidity here. I get it. And I've said it before. A lot of you conservative men are obsessed with these women with these masculine voices, these conservative women with these masculine voices. Look across conservative media. I mean, every Jill, Jane, and Jackie has a deep voice. Michelle Tafoya, Julia Coleman, just pick one. It's all over the place. And I'm just like, guys, okay. But when are we going to be honest about the fact that there's no sane and rational reason we should believe a Michelle Tafoya is going to go to Washington, D.C. and defeat the deep state? And I'll say this again. I've said it multiple times here on the show, but the thing that probably bothers me the most, and I hesitate to even say this because of my transgender attire, and I have huge respect for Charlie Kirk, the late Charlie Kirk, so I don't want to make light of him, but this was supposed to be the Christian revival. This entire cycle, 2026, the midterms, was supposed to be the revenge, the retribution, the righteous reckoning of what they did to Charlie Kirk. And the first thing they do here in the cultural epicenter of American politics, Minnesota, the belly of the beast, home of the fraud, home of the intellectual brain trust of the commiecrats. We bring a openly pro-choice candidate named Michelle Tafoya, who lies before the people unabashedly, and the Tim Scotts of the world just continue to prop her up as though you should believe her or him. And I mean, that's probably the best diagnosis of where America is. Other than the fact that it would appear the Women's National Basketball Association no longer can define what the W in the name really stands for. And we're going to test that limit because, again, I said it earlier, but I'll say it here again. My fear of flying has been cured. If I had known being a sometimes identifying as a transgender woman, was this liberating? Was this purifying? Was this edifying? I would have done this years ago. I would have done it years ago if I had known that my fear of flying was really a repression of my true transgender self being locked away deep down inside, trapped, that I had created a cage, a voluntary cage for my authentic queen self. I would have done this a long time ago. I probably would have been able to play in the NBA. You know what? I could have been the first transgender to play in the NBA had I only listened to the transgender deep down inside when I was 21 years old and fought the NBA about mental health policy, which is also on the record. You can go and read about that. I'm sorry, a little bit of hair is getting in my eyes. You can go and read on the record about my trailblazing fight with the NBA on mental health policy. But if I had known that unlocking and freeing the transgender living deep inside of me would cure my fear of flying, I'd have been the first transgender to play in the NBA. Hell, I'd have been the first transgender all-star in the NBA. That would have been a sight for sore eyes, wouldn't it? Let's flip this thing on its head. Yeah, and there's not a lot of assigned female at birth people, assigned female at birth people who could make the jump to the NBA. And so I kind of feel like it's my duty to represent real women in the NBA. Don't you? I think a lot of women out there, a lot of radical feminists and other women on the left would agree that there's an underrepresentation of women in the NBA, right? And who better to represent you in the NBA? Hell, I might have to get the radical feminist movement in their legal lobby to get their paperwork ready. And I may need to declare it myself open for active free agency in the NBA again. Let's see which league it take me. Yeah, we got ourselves in a gender blender here. A genuine gender quagmire here we have. Hell, I think I could still play in the NBA, to be honest with you. And I'm being very serious about that. I actually believe that I could easily be very productive in the NBA right now. The game has evolved in the direction of my skill set. It's, you know, I mean, anybody who knows basketball will tell you that in a minute. The power forwards have gotten smaller. They're going to small ball. Everybody needs to be able to guard multiple positions. And now I'm going into this, you know, who knows ball motif. But I was a guy that could guard every position. I was a guy who had a very high IQ game, very high IQ basketball game. I was a very willing passer because, you know, I had that sense of empathy. Everybody should share in the fun, in the enjoyment, in the winning. If everybody can't get some, it ain't no fun. It ain't no fun if the homies can't have some. There's a clip right here. This type of play you won't really see, where a man fakes a behind the back pass in motion and takes two long steps and extends out and dunks a basketball that he's holding like a grapefruit. I mean, these are plays, and I don't mean to toot my own horn, but these are plays that even amongst the men you don't see too often. Even amongst the biological, or let's say assigned male at birth, even amongst the assigned male at birth players, you don't see a play like that too often. So I really think that I could play in the association, in the NBA right now. But first, I have to break the barriers that have been set in our society culturally about gender and about what it means to be a real woman. And right now, can you bring the Chaka Khan back, please? Just play the Chaka for me for a little bit. Bring the Chaka Khan back there in the studio. Just let it play. There it comes.
I can sense your needs like rain onto the seas. I can make a rhyme.
Shaka. We go Shaka Khan, we'll be in here. We'll turn this into a disco. And this ain't a disco, right? It's serious. We're in a serious moment in American history. I mean, we have a choice. We can either get off of the high, the heroin of an ever-expanding federal government and all the benefits that come along with it, all the convenience that we trade in an illegitimate quid pro quo for our freedom. We can either get off of that gravy train and really start to take our citizenship serious, or we can ride the ideological insanity of our permanent political class right into the gutter, where you will have universal basic income, drugs, and some type of dystopian video game. You know, those are our choices. And I can't make the choice for you. I can only present you with the options. Everybody out there in the audience, because, you know, we all live in our own reality. Everybody out there in the audience has to make their own choice. You got to make your own choice. You have to, you're an individual. You live in your own reality and in your own truth, like me. You know, some days I wake up and I'm Royce, and today I'm Roysha. You know, I'm feeling it. I got the Shaka Khan spirit in me. It's all in me. Anything you want done, baby, I do it naturally. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But you have to make those choices. You out there in the audience, you have to decide, are we pro-life or not? And it's just like, again, even though I'm a black, sometimes identifying as a transgender woman, American, I still think we should be pro-life. I think the transgender should be pro-life. Like, how are there going to be any more transgenders if we don't value the sanctity of life? What is going to happen to the transgenders? If we don't value the sanctity of life, if we allow the sanctity of life, that Jenga piece, which is the foundation of our morals and our ethics and our human rights, if we pull that Jenga piece out and we progress into this anti-human, sort of post-human or transhuman philosophy where it doesn't really matter if you're an organically born person. Hell, an ectopharm, and you could be a robot. You could be a cyborg. I mean, if there's not a difference between men and women, biologically, fundamentally speaking, then what's the difference between a human and a robot? What is the difference between a human being and a robot if there's no fundamental or biological difference between a man and a woman? I say there is no difference. And I think the lack of differentiation is actually on purpose. Because I do think the propensity, again, and I'm trying to liaison with my queens on the far left. I want to liaison with you. I want to talk to you. You know, I'd like to think I could school you on the darkness, the pervading darkness that maybe you're not aware of. Hopefully you're not aware of. I pray you're not aware of. I pray you haven't conceded to this type of darkness. At least some of you. I hope some of you see the dangers of a technocratic dystopia. And sure, I'm not a big fan of data centers. Oh, no, no, no. No, no. Yours truly, Roysha. I don't like the data centers. Uh-uh. No, 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 no. I don't like the data centers. I'm just going to be Mr. President, and you know I love you and support you, but I don't like the sound of this technocratic data center deal. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. And I got half a mind to start really digging deep into what's going on in Antarctica. You know, we get all these UFO drops. You get the UFO drops. You get the UFO files before you get the JFK files, right? You know, because what's another couple UFO files going to, you know, you start uncovering that Warren Commission, that sham Warren Commission and the magic bullet theory. You boomers out there, God bless your heart, you believe the magic bullet theory. That bullet went in the car and it zoomed all around. It's like, you know, doing cartwheels and somersaults and pole vaulting and pommel horse, and it's just ridiculous. But, you know, we get the UFO files before we get the JFK files or the 9/11 files. You can't even say the 9/11 files. You can't even say the 9/11 files in polite company, polite political company. You can't even say, where are the 9/11 files? You can't even say it. People look at you like you're wearing a wig. And I take offense to that. You know, us sometimes identifying transgender women, we know, and I've only, you know, I'm new here. It's only been a few days, but we can tell when people are looking at us strange. We feel that. And it makes us want to take that transgender that was buried deep inside of us that we liberated and bury that person again. And if we're forced to bury that person, I mean, I can't guarantee that a trans, sometimes identifying as trans on the weekends, trans at nighttime, trans when they get off of work, I can't guarantee that they won't come shoot up your Catholic school. I can't guarantee it. Now, I would never prescribe that people do something like that, and I certainly don't think that's the right way to handle your political frustrations, but I'm just being honest with you. I can't guarantee if you don't affirm my transition that somewhere out there in the world, somewhere in our country, another trans individual won't just say enough is enough. We can't take any more oppression. You know, it's an injustice. It's an injustice to make the trans person in all of us stay buried and locked up and caged. It's liberating. The person you see before you this evening has been liberated. And they can make fun. They can say, oh, he's making a mockery of trans rights, trans lives matter, Black trans lives matter. He's not a woman. What right does he have to say he's a woman? He's a stupid Trump supporter. What, because I'm trans, I can't be MAGA? I can't be trans MAGA? I can't be a trans America firster? Is that what you guys are saying out there in the audience? You all on the left, are you saying that because I'm a Christo nationalist, I can't be a transgender Christo nationalist? Why? Why not? You can be whatever you want to be. And bring the Chaka Khan back for me, please. Right now, I want to be a woman. Every woman, it's all in me. Anything you want, baby, I do it naturally. We'll be right back in a moment. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here live on the Alex Jones Network. Royce White in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Earth, filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The Alex Jones Store.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
This sword has tasted blood, and it will taste more.
Yeah! Attack!